At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
He's up here.
There he is, Chino, which means only one thing right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer alongside my longtime good friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. And Brent, we've got some SEC hoops to talk about.
Yes.
Live on this Wednesday night, January the 29th. And by the way, we always appreciate you, the viewers, that tune in live to the program. You're more than welcome to chime in via the show chat. We've got some topics for tonight. We'll get into some SEC football as we move throughout the program. Big week for some SEC draft hopefuls because you got the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama, as you might expect. Heavily represented, the SEC is, by league players previously of league programs around the SEC. But we'll talk some SEC basketball as well because it's a big Wednesday night too, Brent.
Sure is. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Auburn dispensing of LSU fairly quickly, Alabama at Mississippi State, which is, I'm sure will be another street fight. Don't you think, Trav?
Those are always rock fights.
Yes, they are, aren't they?
And Chris Jans, he likes those too. The Mississippi State coach. He'd love for that game with Nate Oates tonight to be somewhere in the 70s, if not the 60s.
Yeah,
you know, he'd like to turn that into what Chris Beard did for Ole Miss a couple weeks ago in Tuscaloosa, wouldn't he?
He really would. Yeah, absolutely no question about that. Bama did to get things together against LSU over the weekend, but probably a lot more attention going to Mark Sears than anyone would like right now, and or his mother.
Yeah.
Look, Trev, you
Mama drama.
Yeah. And listen, you played enough sports to. And covered it to understand these things just happen.
They
sometimes
do.
Sometimes you just need a bit of a wake up call. Sears was 0-5 in the first half, wasn't very good on defense, but certainly Nate Oates kind of made a wake up call. I think not only to Sears but everybody else. So, but I also think Trav, he does that because he knows how good this team could be.
Yeah, and he's got depth too. He's got guys.
He does.
And so whether you're All-American like Mark Sears or, you know, you're an off-the-bench guy like Aiden Holloway, who came off the bench and performed magnificently against LSU over the weekend. That's the luxury that Nate Oates has right now. It isn't just a threat when he tells his players, look, if you allow one end of the floor to impact you on the other, then you won't have to worry about the floor.
No.
All right. We'll get you off the floor. He actually can do it and not have that concern as much about a massive drop off in terms of performance because Alabama, even with Latrell Wright sell out and benching Sears for an entire half, still was able to get it done. Not pretty against LSU, but Crimson Tide with a big challenge tonight at the Hump in Starkville. That is one of those late tip-offs this evening. Man, you got Texas Ole Miss, the Chris Beard Bowl, basically, tonight.
Yeah, really.
And that one between the Rebels and the Longhorns. So we talk about it every week here on the program, man. It used to be with SEC basketball, you could kind of watch one out of every five games in the SEC feel like you saw everything you need to see. Mm-hmm. Now it has legitimately become must-see television with SEC basketball. I saw it last night. Kentucky goes on the road, knocks off Tennessee at Thompson Bowling. Kentucky is a top 10 team as of right now and is 4-4 in SEC. And that's where we're at with Southeastern Conference basketball.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. Now, I give Mark Pope a lot of credit. They have they've done well. Kobe Bro has really played well. Jackson Robinson, too. Amari Williams.
Big last night, Robinson was.
You know, just all of those guys. And here we've got Trev. You know, here we've got Tennessee that's been number one, that's been a top five, top 10 team, and they're now bidding in a bit of a tailspin. I mean, huge game this weekend with Florida, but frankly, I'm not sure that really matters. That's just how good the conference is right now. And for instance, Florida does play this weekend, but their next four. At Tennessee, Vandy, at Auburn, and at Mississippi State. Good grief, Trav.
Vandy playing better basketball now after the coaching change. And it kind of brings to thought the perspective we've had of football in this league for so many years about cannibalization.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. How teams in this league kind of feast upon each other, and then maybe it shows up in a negative form when you get to the postseason. But you don't get that sense as much. More so, you just feel like it's iron sharpening iron.
Yes.
The NCAA tournament, as we know, 68 spots in that one. It's not a four-team field or a 12-team field. So more of the question will become down the road as we get into late next month, a month from now, early March, how many teams might the SEC get into the big games when it's all said and done?
Well, listen, there are nine in the net rankings in the top 24. I mean, that's amazing.
By the way, can we get a net rankings for football? It seems to work pretty well for basketball. I guess, though, we had something similar to net. It was called the BCS, the computer poll and the computer rankings and those things. I guess that worked too well. You know, we had to get more subjective. We had to get more human involvement into this thing with football. Basketball, it doesn't seem to be as much of a problem. I know we got a selection committee, all those things, but the numbers are what they are, it seems like, more so in basketball than football.
Trav, I've got to ask you, John, Coach Cal goes back to Kentucky this weekend. Trav, are there over and unders for the booing that might happen?
The guy's 1-6 in the league. You ought to give him a standing ovation.
Absolutely.
That he's at Arkansas. If he was at Kentucky and 1-6 in the league, then heck yeah, boo the crap out of John Calipari. He's 1-6. You're going to hammer Arkansas on Saturday in all likelihood.
Probably.
Get the guy a standing O. I mean, at the end of the day, Cal's going to probably go up in the Raptors, Raptors at Rupp Arena. Really? But if you're a Kentucky fan, just give this guy his flowers, man, because Mark Pope just went into Knoxville and beat Tennessee. What are you worried about Cal for? What, I mean,
really?
It looks like he might have done you a favor there in going to Arkansas.
We also need to feel sorry for Cal. Particularly after Boogie Fland, the standout guard, that this happened a few days ago, missed the rest of the season with thumb surgery. So it doesn't get any better for Cal, does it, Trev?
It doesn't, boy. It's a rough, rough first season out there in Northwest Arkansas for Cal. Right now, if you're an Arkansas fan, you're thankful for South Carolina because the Gamecocks are 0-8 in the league. It looks like LSU, as you talked about earlier, likely to go down at home tonight against the Auburn Tigers. LSU got off to a little bit of a quick start in that game against Auburn tonight. Auburn, being the great team it is, sort of quickly rectified that situation, went into a position of command. It's a tough league, man. Look at Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a good basketball team.
They are.
Sitting there at 2-5 after a loss, I guess, at Texas A&M last night. Mm-hmm. And then teams you didn't really talk about much in the preseason. You got Missouri at 5-2 in the league.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Mississippi Absolutely. State with a huge opportunity at home coming up here in about a half hour against fourth-ranked Alabama. That's a battle of top 15 teams with Mississippi State at 4-3. We talked about Vanderbilt improved at 4-3. Kentucky feels like its record is better than 4-3, but that's what it is. And it took a road win at Tennessee last night to get it to that point.
Yeah, but Kentucky and the in the net is like 13.
Yeah.
So they're still highly regarded. Trev, and I'll be really brief on this, but I was watching SEC Nation after that A&M game last night that started at 9 that ended about 11:37, and I felt for Dorian Noka. He was being facetious, but he wasn't. But please tell me how long it takes for some of these, the last 2 minutes of these game, the final 2:37 of that Oklahoma A&M game, Trav, it took 22 minutes to finish that. So you and I remember this, college basketball, you can almost set your watch. It was over in 2 hours. Yeah. That's no longer the case, is it?
Well, it's all of the fouls and the free throw shooting. It is. That's another thing. If they'd go to quarters, they could solve a lot of that. Yeah. Now they'd lose some commercial money because you don't have as many TV timeouts, which is probably why they won't go to quarters
and
reset fouls after every quarter.
Yeah.
But they know how to fix that. They know how to help that. And it kind of makes you think it all goes back to money, because why wouldn't they have already done it? With situations. And look, think about if the SEC had added SC and UCLA and had West Coast games. Think about what the Big Ten network's going through right now, or what their deal is with those teams out there now on the West Coast to go along with the teams back east and the Central time zone. A lot of late nights for the Big Ten.
No doubt.
Hey, Brent, let's talk about some college football here on Second Helping. We tend to do that from time to time. Mm-hmm. You know, last week we talked about some way too early sort of thoughts on SEC football teams in regard to national championship odds, maybe win totals, those type of things. And with those in our wake to this point, we'll see. We'll probably revisit it because rosters, as we know, are still going to change. Wanted to ask you about some of the SEC teams that maybe you have concerns for in terms of living up to expectations in 2025. And for me, a team that comes to mind immediately, a couple of them, the South Carolinas, the Floridas, Vanderbilt even. With, you know, the bowl trip in 2024 and Diego coming back, and looks like Clark Lee's got some positive momentum there. But it's not just those teams that are around sort of that 7.5 to 8.5 win total. What about Texas? You know, I mean, obviously, when you talk about the top of the food chain in the Southeastern Conference with Arch Manning stepping in there at quarterback, could it be a team like Texas maybe that we get to the end of the season in 2025 and they're sitting there at 9-3 or something like that. Yeah. Can Alabama, let's say, under Kalen DeBoer, start to live up to expectations under his hand? Because they certainly didn't do that in year one in 2024.
No, they did not. And Trev, I'm going to throw Auburn in there because – it's not what they did last year. It's what they're expected to do this year with Jackson Arnold at quarterback. They've got an incredible freshman coming in that they really like. No Jarquez Hunter line of scrimmage, I think, will be better all in all. An early, obviously, opener going to Baylor. Could some expectations get out of hand on the Plains over these next few months too?
Yeah, that's the thing. You've got all of these proud football programs in the Southeastern Conference. They can't all live up to expectations with what the league has become. You know, LSU is certainly that type of team you know, given where they're at under Brian Kelly and sort of what expectations were even the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a big question. Garrett Nussmeier coming back, key departures in that receiving core and that offensive line. So there's still a lot to fix there. You know, I think it reverts back to maybe some of the hot seat measurements that we'll take on some of these coaches that go into this as well. And in some instances, are we just going to get to the point with NIL and the current climate of college athletics? Are we even going to have expectations of some program?
I mean,
are we going to just look at Mississippi State and say Arkansas and say, look, if they win six or seven games every year, from the outside anyway, they should be good with that. Their fan base should be good with that. Even though within their fan base, I can tell you the answer is probably going to be no.
And can we throw Tennessee in there? They have finalized their a new deal with Tim Banks, a D coordinator. They didn't want him to get away. They've also got a new signee, Sam Pendleton, who is sophomore offensive lineman from Notre Dame. And this sort of caught my attention. I'm sure it did yours too. Trav, this past Monday was the fourth, been 4 years since Josh Heupel has been in Knoxville to start his time there. They haven't won championships, but they're certainly better. Two top 10 finishes and one of the only four SEC teams to finish ranked in the polls each of the last three seasons. So, frankly, to your point, it's a fascinating offseason coming up.
Yeah, if you're a Tennessee fan, you should be absolutely thrilled with Josh Heupel, understanding the Vols got hammered, got dismantled by Ohio State in the first round of the college football playoff. But if for no other reason, your team, your program is 2-2 against the Alabama Crimson Tide. You've held serve on your home field against Alabama. You think about that losing streak in that series before Heupel got there. And even in the two road games for Tennessee in that series, you played Alabama off its feet. Could have won both those games. I don't know how any Tennessee fan can have an issue of any kind with Josh Heupel. Obviously, you want to win championships. But the bottom line in this era of college football, if you are qualified, if you are a participant in the 12-team or maybe soon to be 16-team playoff, that's going to be the equivalent, I think, for a lot of fans of a conference championship. Bottom line is you have a chance to participate in the tournament to win the biggest championship in all of collegiate football.
Trav, I wanted to ask you too, Shane Beamer, a new deal. This was just announced a little bit ago. He was scheduled to make a paltry $6.6 million, but now with a new deal, he's going to be making $8.15 million. This is just startling to me. The new deal still makes him only the ninth highest paid coach in the league.
Yeah, it's still middle of the pack, you know. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. And I think the more that programs and athletic departments make that kind of commitment to a coach, we're back to a point, it feels like, Brent, you tell me what you think, where coaches have more stability than they had.
Agreed.
Even 2-3 years ago. Because there seems to have been a reevaluation of, okay, where do we really want to allot resources and funds and things like that? Do we really want to buy out a coach that wins 7 or 8 games when we need to dedicate more money towards the roster? You know, that seems to work in favor of some of these coaches that, let's be honest, in previous years, you know, might have been gone if that weren't the case.
Well, and I think your point is, let's pay Shane $2 million, and we can take the rest of that money and apply it to the roster, Frank. And again, Beamer's 29 and 22, the best record by a South Carolina coach in the first 4 years Look, are they great? No, but they are considerably better, especially with the Norris Sellers. And listen, they were the team to look at in this kind of, when you've got a good dual threat quarterback, you had a really good defensive line. Trev, they won a lot of games with that combination.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's still a winning formula, even in today's college football. As much as we talk about skill positions and explosive plays and things of that nature, you still have to be really good in that areas to win at the highest level. I mean, just look at the college football playoff and how that kind of shook down.
Yes.
For more on that. So, Brent, let's go around the league a little bit.
Yeah.
Typically, Brent here on Second Helping, you'll have a nugget or two for just about every program, every athletic department in the Southeastern Conference. So we'll work alphabetically. Brent, let's start right there with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Give us one little morsel there that we need to know about the Crimson Tide. Could be basketball, could be football, you name it.
I know he's not on the team anymore, but people may not have heard this. Julian Singh, who was at Alabama before Ohio State, back in the transfer portal. That's going to be interesting because I still think Singh is a tremendous quarterback in a lot of ways. And I'll add 1A to this. Senior Bowl, I know you've seen this like I have, Trev, and sometimes it's just first day jitters, but Jalen Milroe not exactly lighting it up. Skipping balls, throwing interceptions. It was not a good day for Milroe at all.
No, and it sounds like it wasn't a great second day either. So you start to wonder about the psyche of a guy like that after he had the struggles he had in the season. You know, you can work through some physical things. I think a lot of these NFL quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, they look at guys like Jalen Milroe and say, that's fine. You know, as long as he's in the ballpark, when we get him, we can make the needed changes, adjustments, mechanically or physically to kind of get him where he needs to be. But if it becomes kind of a psyche issue, a real confidence issue, that's when it becomes especially problematic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, saying, I guess it kind of speaks to maybe Ohio State being in the market.
Yeah,
for another transfer quarterback, because it lined up that Saiyan would be next in line, depending on how things shook out with Will Howard and that situation. So that's interesting. Very highly recruited. Not the biggest guy in the world. Julian Saiyan isn't going to raise many eyebrows in terms of the physical makeup and maybe some of those attributes, but a guy who was obviously very highly regarded before signing with the Alabama Crimson Tide and then making the move to Ohio State. Talk to me about the Arkansas Razorbacks. What do I need to know about Woo Pig right now, Brent?
Well, I think Taylen Crean is coming back. I think they're excited about him. I think the thing that that I can tell you is what we haven't heard, and we haven't heard of Mr. Petrino going somewhere else. So, and I know you and I have touched on this a little bit. Trev, does that surprise you at all? Could he be looking at something maybe in the NFL at some point? I'm not sure that he would be a fit there. I mean, from the offensive smarts, he certainly would be, but that's one of the more interesting things I've heard about the Hogs is maybe what has not happened there as much as what's happened.
Yeah, I think if you're an Arkansas fan, you're thrilled with what has happened at this point. You want Bobby Petrino around. Mm-hmm. You saw some real growth from Taylen Green. Man, you keep that dynamic working together. I think the schedule to open 2025 is favorable. You open with Alabama A&M. Mm-hmm. On August 30th, then you get Butch Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And the Red Wolves of Arkansas State on September the 6th. Mm-hmm. That game will be in Little Rock. Then you really get into it because you go to Ole Miss for your SEC opener, and even the trip to Memphis on September the 20th and that week after the trip to Oxford won't be easy. By the way, Brent, you cap September with a home game against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Your Arkansas. Then you go to Tennessee on October the 11th.
Right.
Then you get Texas A&M at home. It gets real. Gets real really quick checking out that Arkansas schedule for the 2025 season. Brent, so tell me about those Auburn Tigers a little bit. I know it would seem unlikely that there would be maybe much in the way of festering optimism, but even with the struggles in the first two seasons under Hugh Freeze, some changes to that roster, specifically the quarterback position, young wide receiver core, very dynamic, as we know. Is it possible that even with everything we've seen the last couple of years, or maybe better said, the things we haven't seen from Auburn the last couple of years, is it possible to think that a 9-10 win type of jump is in the offing for Hugh Freeze in year three?
I still think a lot of that comes down to the quarterback situation. We mentioned Jackson Arnold a few minutes ago and touched a little bit on Deuce Knight. They've got Ashton Daniels, I think, to complete the quarterback room, transferred from Stanford. But look, I mean, they've got pretty much running back by committee. They got two tackles in the portal that they desperately needed. And then we have basically talked about that Cam Cameron and that freshman would be sophomores now, a group of wide receivers coming back. So, Travin, frankly, in a lot of ways, this team should be better, particularly if Hugh doesn't throw them all under the bus, Trav, after the spring after the spring game, right?
Yeah, we talk about schedule too, and we know that among other things, Georgia, Alabama, that annual or that other every other year flip back to playing those games at Jordan-Hare goes into effect for the Tigers in 2025. What about the Florida Gators? DJ Lagway, obviously, some real key pieces, that offensive line coming back, running back position you really like a lot. Defensively, a ton of momentum over the second half of the season, a real ability to get after the quarterback from the Gators. That's another team we talk about. There's going to be an expectation a jump in wins, but then when you go back to the schedule and you look at that, like we talked about last week, I don't know how realistic even that really is, even with the guys you know you like from a roster perspective.
Oh yeah, and again, the schedule just kind of flip-flop is what it amounts to. They've got Harrison Bailey from Louisville in the quarterback room, so that will be helpful. I think they're excited about Dallas Wilson is enrolling, the wide receiver. Now, this has not been confirmed. I just thought it was interesting. Bubba Spurrier has been mentioned, and until it is, I'll just couch this as more of a kind of a rumor type. But
gee, I wonder where that leak's coming from about Bubba Spurrier joining the Florida staff as maybe an analyst. Huh. Is there anyone in Gainesville who might be putting that out there? Yeah. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, I think there's probably really good.
You think Stephen or Spurrier might be bending the ear of a few people about Bubba being in Gainesville for 2025?
Yeah, very well could be. Now I also give one other quick note. Zach Goodall said Napier unlikely to hire an offensive coordinator, a position that a lot of Gator fans still would love to see a different person in that role than who's in it now.
Well, you know what Gator fans can do? They can eat cake on that, because you know who likes Billy Napier apparently
is a quarterback role
is DJ Lagway.
Yeah.
And DJ holds all the cards.
He does. Absolutely.
But if things go south with DJ, that fan base will be in fuego.
Oh yeah.
With him as well. It won't take long, I don't think. Mm-hmm. What about the Georgia Bulldogs? Obviously, the talk of the last couple of weeks has been about Carson Beck making the move to Miami. But, you know, it looks like Georgia's been pretty effective working the transfer portal. And as we know, I mean, Kirby year in and year out is going to have a roster that can easily compete for the biggest championship in all the sport.
Well, I mean, I think they like who they've got coming back, frankly, in Gunnar Stockton and Nate Frazier and Oscar Delp, Lawson Lucky, particularly on that offensive side of the ball.
Can they get back to their standard at the offensive line, right?
That is the great point of all at this point, because Trav, you and I both know that's what happened to them last year. It frankly, seriously did not work. Kirby knows that. And I would think that's got to be the theme of the spring, does it not?
It does. It felt like Georgia kind of got caught in this gap between their elite groups and maybe their elite groups that are on the way as far as the most recent offensive line. They had some injuries, understanding that, but even with all of that, that wasn't the sort of standard for Georgia offensive line play that we had grown accustomed to. So it will be interesting to see if the Dogs, more so than whatever happens at quarterback or some other areas, are able to do that along that offensive line. So Brent, what about the LSU Tigers with Brian Kelly and the sort of honeymoon, the afterglow of Garrett Nussmeier coming back at the quarterback position? Quarterback depth has been in the headlines here a little bit for reasons that you don't like. But they even addressed some of that via the transfer portal with Michael Van Buren coming over from Mississippi State. Where are we at with LSU in terms of looking ahead for next season?
Yeah. They made what I thought was a curious hire. Now, I know he's from Louisiana, but Lance Guidry was with Miami and as DC, and they were like 68th in the country. Again, I mean, Blake Baker's the guy, and he has done a good job and will do a good job. Bo Davis, obviously, on that defensive line also. So I think, frankly, with Grant Nussmeier coming back, that there's a decent amount of excitement, and there's a lot of, and I like Nussmeier. I don't mind telling you that.
I like him too.
I really do. And there's talk he may be the best quarterback in the league.
Well, what I like about Garrett Nussmeier is he's got some Matthew Stafford in him. You talk about gunslingers.
Yes.
Gunslingers are going to sling, and you're going to have to live with some of that. But all in all, I like it because I like guys that don't go fetal if they throw an interception. They'll come right back and continue to attack.
Yeah, right.
Now, sometimes that can play out to a detriment. Mm-hmm. It can. It can turn into a 3 or 4 turnover type of outing. But, no, I think it's a good thing for LSU to have Garrett Nussmeier back. Yeah, I think it's kind of like a state law that you have to have one staff member named Guidry in the state of Louisiana.
Good.
Remember Ron Guidry?
For
the New York. Yeah, the Louisiana Lightning.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Ron Guidry was a Louisiana guy. So maybe that's what's going on with the Tigers and Lance coming in from Miami. Let's talk about, by the way, you know, a couple of those teams, Missouri, Ole Miss. It sounds like Lane's got that thing in Oxford where it can keep humming.
Yeah.
Even with Jackson Dart moving on to the National Football League, we saw enough of Austin Simmons to think, hey, this guy might be okay at the quarterback position. Missouri, I guess, a little bit more of a concern at the quarterback spot with Brady Cook moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. And Cook had been there since 2021. And look, to me, I love Cook. I really did. But the guy that Travis and I really enjoyed watching is Luther Burton. I mean, I think it's going to be amazing what he's going to be able to do in the NFL. Now, Cook, with Cook out, former Penn State backup Bo Pribula, looks like he may be the guy at that point, too. So that's going to be fascinating. But you're right. I've talked to a Ole Miss beat writer friend. They love Simmons. Yeah. Austin Simmons at quarterback. They think he may get something done. Centarian Perkins, you and I have talked about him a lot at linebacker Xavier Harris. But they feel that they have restocked the shelves, shall we say, and it's time to get in the playoff as far as their mindset.
Yeah, they've teased that obviously enough. In 2024, I don't think anyone will be surprised if they actually bring that to fruition in 2025. Now, Missouri, you know, we talked about schedule in 2024 because it felt like the Tigers went a month and a half before we really saw that team get tested last season. Now, Boston College kind of changed that with Bill O'Brien and his first year up there at BC, because that became a more formidable game early in the season as it played out. But once again, you look at Missouri's schedule, open with Central Arkansas, Kansas, but that's in Como.
Yeah.
Certainly a winnable game, Louisiana. Then you get South Carolina, though. September 20th, that's in Como, so that works favorably. Alabama on October the 11th. Como, you get to the second half of the season, though, then you start looking at Auburn on the road. You do get Texas A&M in Como, though. You go on the road to Oklahoma. You go on the road to Arkansas. We talk about schedules flipping. That's kind of what's happened to Missouri as well.
Yeah, sure.
And it still looks like a favorable schedule for Eli's bunch, but key departures at key spots could kind of change things.
Yeah, they also got Mississippi State wide receiver Kevin Coleman, Georgia edge Damon Wilson. So they think some of those guys are going to be able to help them too. And by the way, Eli Trapp, 21-5 in the last two seasons.
Wow. Yeah, that's how you get an extension and a nice raise.
Yeah, really.
Even before that, though, Eli was able to secure that extension and that raise. And he rewarded it with that stretch, couple of double-digit win seasons for Eli Drinkwitz the last couple of campaigns. What about Oklahoma with Brent Venables? Change over on the offensive side, John Mateer coming in as a quarterback from Washington State, Washington State offensive coordinator coming in as well. What is this season sort of hold for Brent Venables in terms of what he needs to get done at this point in his tenure?
I think they were very disappointed, frankly, in the situation at D coordinator. Frankly, they thought they were going to get Jim Knowles.
Yeah. From Ohio State.
Yeah. Who went to Penn State. Jim Knowles' fiance, lives in Oklahoma. They thought that would help them. And look,
you know what though? Knowles look at, he might look at and say, you know what? The head coach is a defensive guy though.
Yep. Could be,
you know, that and Penn State offered apparently Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and its proposal to bring Knowles to Happy Valley.
Well, and listen, I thought about us doing radio and everything else together over the last few years when I saw this number. They are paying Jim Knowles $3 million a year.
Yeah.
Now, that's coordinator money.
That's like a three-plus year deal. That's not a one-year deal. That's
no.
Essentially $10 million
guaranteed. The thing I remember well of people, Trev, and you do too, people screaming when they were paying these coordinators $100,000 and $200,000 and so forth. And what we're seeing now is astronomical compared to what we saw.
Yeah, it really is. You know, last season we talked about Oklahoma kind of like Missouri, really kind of ramping up and kind of taking a step or two through the shallow end of the pool before going fully into the deep end. Well, that won't be the case in 2025. Get Michigan in Norman on September the 6th. How about that for a little bit of a helmet matchup in early September, Brent?
Yeah, I like that. I really do. But
weird road game too. Go to Temple. Yeah. Go to Philadelphia. OU does to play Temple the week after Michigan in Norman.
Boy, I wonder who set that one up. I bet Bob Stoops didn't do that one, did he, Trav?
Remember Alabama went to to Philadelphia, I think, years and years ago, maybe to play Temple. Went to Cincinnati, I think, too, or maybe it was Cincinnati. But I guess every once in a while you'll see those. I guess we're in that era, too, of two-for-ones.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you want two home games against a program, you're going to, more than you used to, have to give up, you know, going on the road. We saw it at Alabama going to South Florida in, in 2023, right?
Well, and listen, I know Venables has mentioned his wife, I believe, has breast cancer again. And I feel for anybody going through that, frankly. But look, as horrible as that is, you and I both know his future is going to be determined on the field. And Trev, the last thing he needs is another 6-6.
Wow. What about Texas A&M? Because that was a, like, Kevin Sumlin finish.
It was.
To the back half of that schedule. I don't know what it is about Texas A&M. You can go back to some big sum and the collapses in November. Now, things kind of ramped up in terms of schedule. But there was a lot of goodwill pumped into Mike Elko over a stretch of about six or seven games. I don't think that's really deteriorated all that much. I think that fan base is still feeling pretty good about the guy they've got in there, especially relative to the guy that he succeeded. But what's A&M doing right now? Is it Marcel Reed?
Oh yeah.
Is the guy moving forward? I would think so.
Yeah.
And just, I guess Elko still trying to put his imprint on that team, kind of speaks to the struggles before him. Teams that under Jimbo Fisher couldn't finish games. Later in the season, they seem to come apart. Finishing, I'm sure, is a big part of Elko's mantra here in the offseason.
Oh, yeah. I started 7-1 and dropped 4 of the last 5. I mean, that's very Kevin Sumlin-like. I mean, Reed comes back. Le'Veon Moss comes back. We both really liked him. He ran with some authority when he was healthy. Reuben Owens comes back, but Moss is the guy. Trey Zune and on the offensive tackle, I think he'll be fine. They did get Kevin Concepcion from NC State as wide receiver, and Mario Craver from Mississippi State, and Micah Hudson from Texas Tech. So they should be in pretty good shape. As far as wide receivers are concerned, my Lord, though, Trev, road games at Notre Dame, LSU, Missouri, and Texas.
Week 3.
Woo.
Make the trip up to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. Can't look past UTSA even in the season opener, but, I mean, you're going to win games against UTSA and Utah State in weeks 1 and 2 in College Station, but things get real when you make that trip to Notre Dame. And you said it, even home games against Florida figure to be tougher this year.
Oh, yeah.
Auburn figures to be a tougher home game than it might have been a year ago. South Carolina in College Station. You know, there's a lot of years you'd have looked at this schedule, or at least recent years, and you'd say, oh, we'll have a chance to really make some hay at home. But South Carolina doesn't figure to be a gimme. At Kyle Field, neither does Auburn, neither does Florida. I guess Mississippi State you kind of look at. And as you said, you cap things with that trip to Austin to take on the Longhorns. Well, Brent, anything else? Any closing nuggets you might have for us before we get out of here live on a Wednesday night?
There was an ACC schedule release Monday night that certainly has some ties in with the SEC. Florida State obviously begins with Alabama in their new refurbished stadium, or at least refurbished stadium, I will say, along that line. Syracuse begins the year playing Tennessee. And Atlanta, Kyle McCord is going to the NFL for Syracuse. So that certainly is a boost, I think, for Tennessee along that line, too. Trev, I couldn't help but get amused for Bill Belichick going to UNC. 9 of their 12 games are in the state of North Carolina. they decided they would reward, I guess, Belichick coming in along that line. My last thing will be, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. Now, look, I'm not saying this is going to happen immediately. I've seen this a couple places this week, and I had a friend that does some work in another state that called and said that certainly some of these North Carolina to the SEC rumors are ramping up a little bit. Again, not saying this.
I love it. Bring Duke with them. Give me that Duke Carolina combo.
Absolutely.
Football's good. And if you're not Belichick, you know, maybe for even if Belichick's there 4 or 5 years, maybe that takes you into that.
Sure.
Give me all the Carolina and Duke. I know a lot of people would say, no, Florida State, Clemson. No. The SEC's got plenty of football.
Yeah.
You know, you already got South Carolina in South Carolina. You already got Florida, the flagship university in the state of Florida in the SEC. Give me Duke and Carolina, and then let's really have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
When the basketball season rolls around. And then, you know, and look, we've seen in some football seasons too that they can step it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And Trav, I'll end with this. Speaking of Duke, North Carolina, I believe they're entertaining each other on Saturday.
What used to be.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, Trav, they didn't think Duke would be much. They probably got the player of the year, and they're playing well, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal. I mean, Flag is – he's what he was supposed to be. Yeah. And that's a good thing, not only for Duke, but for that entire league.
Yeah.
Because right now that league doesn't attract much.
No, it really doesn't.
It really has swapped places with the Southeastern Conference in terms of basketball. Like we talked about earlier, you know, LSU Auburn tonight, I don't know if that's on a watchability index, how high that ranks. I mean, I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. But man, when you get to these games coming up here or just starting right now in this late window with Texas and Ole Miss and then of course Alabama at Mississippi State. Yeah. It really is what the ACC used to be.
Not
that long ago either.
And listen, believe it or not, and this used to be a second Christmas for you and me, but unbelievably, next Wednesday, February the 5th, is National Signing Day.
Yeah.
And Trav, compared to what it has been in the past, right now, it's barely a whisper, isn't it?
Well, and the reason why I don't like that is that it tells you what it's done to a lot of high school kids for the 2025 cycle.
Exactly.
The transfer portal, this never-ending eligibility we have now to go along with it, it is just killing these high school kids.
Yeah.
And that really part, you really don't like to see, but, you know, that's kind of where we're at, for better or worse,
with
college football, college athletics in general. Brent, as always, a lot of fun.
Enjoyed it, my friend. Take care, and we'll look forward to next week.
Brent Beard, as always, doing a great job right here with us on Second Helping. If you haven't subscribed to the Ryer on YouTube channel, we hope you'll go ahead and do that right now. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to our content as it drops on Ryer on YouTube. A thumbs up, a like would be greatly appreciated as well. For Brent, I'm Travis. Until next time, so long, everybody.